everyone. Welcome to No Smut Shaming. I'm Crystal.
And I'm Kristen.
And we're here to discuss all your favorite romance reads.
And all of the dirty details.
This week, we'll be talking about Jillian Dodd's book, Katie Valentine Dates a Billionaire.
But first, let's talk highs and lows from this week. How was your week?
Today's my birthday.
Is
my high and my low.
Oh, no.
I mean, really, what woman likes to get older?
I mean, that's a fair point.
Right? So, guess who I share a birthday with? Two hotties.
Tell me.
First one, Chris Hemsworth.
Definite babe.
Hubba hubba.
Yes.
Second one, Steve Wozniak. The Woz. Hubba hubba.
The Woz. Hubba hubba. What a babe.
He's a babe.
Two dreamboats.
Oh, yes. How was yours?
My week was good. It was exciting because we put out our very first podcast episode.
We did.
I feel very popular with our 20 downloads. It honestly does feel like a lot, though.
I mean,
for our first episode, and we didn't really tell anybody.
We didn't tell anyone.
There are probably like 18 people, because two of those are us. So it's 18 people that gave it a shot.
You're right.
They give it a shot for this one.
And we appreciate you.
All 20 of you. All 20 of you. Thank you. So that was my high. My low is that back in April, I sent in my passport to get it renewed.
Yes.
And I have not heard anything since then. I mean, obviously, there's some stuff in the world that's going on.
Just a little bit.
I get why it's delayed. Right. But I do need it soon. I do need it. Yeah. So
You planned some big event, didn't you?
I did plan an event. Yeah. I planned a little thing we call a wedding.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep, that was it. So, supposed to be in April. Now it's in November, maybe. But if we do it in November, I still need a passport. So, what I decided to do was I figured out where. This is so crazy. I figured out what passport agency has my documents.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't call them. You can only call like the main hotline.
Oh.
So, I can't call the specific agency, but I found their address. This sounds so crazy of me, but I decided to write them a handwritten note that was like a page long, and I included like 20 pictures of us just to be like, this is us, help us get married, fulfill my passport.
Have you heard anything?
No, I sent it in a couple days ago.
Okay.
So hopefully when they get it, they immediately fall in love with my letter.
Right.
And renew it for me.
I have faith.
Thank you.
I can feel it.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll see. Okay. So this week we're talking about Katie Valentine Dates a Billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
It's by Jillian Dodd. She's a USA bestselling author. And this book is the first in a series. This one has a 4.16 rating on Goodreads.
Very nice.
And this is the first book in the whole Katie Valentine series. There are three books out. And there's a fourth coming out soon. And I think there's going to be a fifth even. And it's just, I'm sorry, it's the cutest series.
It's really cute. It's definitely not
very sexy, but it's so cute. It's a very charming, kind of like a rom-com book.
So would you say this is on the opposite spectrum of The Hunter, our first episode?
I would say so. The Hunter was very in your face, smacks you with an orangey. This one is not like that. It's pretty cutesy, but it's very funny. And I'm all in on this series. I think it's a feel-good series.
Okay.
And I even bought Jillian Dodd's merch. So she has... I'm a fan.
Wow.
She had a shirt that's based on the third Katie Valentine.
Okay.
So I just had to have it. I wanted to wear it today, but it didn't. It's not here yet. But this just shows how big of a fan I am. And I can't wait to talk about this book. It's so good.
So a quick summary of this book is that Katie Valentine is ready to celebrate the success of her latest sweet romance when her editor tells her it was actually a big fat flop. People aren't looking for sweet anymore. They're looking for smutty. Thankfully, her best friend Haley steps in to help her find eligible men to date in hopes of sparking inspiration. The first man is billionaire Blake Marlin. Will Blake bring out Katie's smuttier side so she can write another best-selling romance novel? We'll find out.
I know. So, yeah, it starts off with Kitty ready to pop the champagne because she's going to see her editor. And the past time she's done this, her books have been, super big sellers.
Right? One after another hitting the best-selling list.
Yeah. So she just assumed her latest one would do the same.
Mm-hmm.
She would meet her with her editor and it would just be a huge success. And that is not the case.
Ooh.
She goes in ready to celebrate and the editor's like,
you didn't even make the list.
No. She tells her it was a flop. She goes, this book was a dud. Mm-hmm. This stuff isn't selling anymore. I mean, you can't continue to write sweet romance because people are wanting the hot stuff. They want some sexy stuff, which is just not in her comfort zone. So she immediately panics.
Right, because she's in the middle of actually writing another book and she can't even finish it.
No, she's like, we can't buy anything else from you if it's like this.
So the editor, Maggie, is like, write smuttier or we got to let you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she, for sure panics and does not know how to do this. So my girl here hits up the liquor store.
Just handful.
Yeah. She's like, there's no way I can write this sexy stuff sober.
Right.
So she gets like a lot, like enough to where the lady or the person checking her out is just like, oh, you having a party tonight? She's like, nope, just her.
Just her.
Trying to get smashed to write some smutty stuff. So she's bringing all of her bottles up the stairs of her apartment, mm-hmm. and she runs into her hot neighbor.
Hot neighbor Matt.
And they've lived across the hall from each other for probably a year now, but they've never really had any interactions.
Right.
But like, how good is a hot neighbor? You love a hot neighbor.
I love a hot neighbor.
It's just...
And I don't read a lot of them.
No.
This is the second time I've read about a hot neighbor.
How many hot neighbors have you had?
In real life?
Right.
Zero. Straight up zero.
I'm even trying to think back in college, and I don't think...
I mean, it was an all-girls dorm that I lived in.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to find them there, then.
A little hard.
No, mine was co-ed and even in my apartments in college, but I can't think if... Either way.
Yeah.
This guy, Matt, her neighbor is just...
Hubba hubba.
Hubba hubba. Right. So basically, she goes into her room after they chit-chat for a little bit, mm-hmm. and she just starts popping bottles. She's...
like a rap video.
It's like a rap video. She's in there getting hammered alone. And I think she really takes just like a couple shots.
Yeah.
But it sounds like she's a lightweight.
Yeah, she took like three or four shots.
Yeah.
And she was drunk.
But all of a sudden, I like this part because you can see her like try to write her version of smut. And it is just not good. I mean, talking about like petals and forget the... But it was not good.
Yeah.
So basically she's trying to write this and she can tell, she's like, this is not hot. So in her drunken state, she crosses the hall to Matt's house,
mm-hmm.
and knocks on the door. And of course he answers the door, just like sweaty, shirtless. He's mid workout.
Mm-hmm.
And she just immediately blurts out to him, what's your favorite sexual position?
Right.
And I love that he has an answer for him.
What would you do if someone knocked on your door and was like, what's your favorite sexual position? You've only had one conversation with this person.
I'd like to say I'd close the door, but imagining him being as hot as he is,
You would answer immediately?
I would answer immediately, probably. But I do like how he has an answer ready to go.
Yes. And why he likes that position.
He does. So he says, obviously, reverse cowgirl.
Yeah.
And he's an ass man.
Yes.
Respect. Respect. So I also like that. So she reads him her line that she had written about what she thought was smutty, and he was just like, that is so bad. But then he kind of helps her write
a little line that tells her some words to change.
Yeah. And they're pretty good.
Uh-huh.
But then upon receiving this advice from him, she immediately passes out in his arms in like a drunken state.
Mm-hmm. She wakes up the next morning, realizes she's not in her own bed.
Also not in her clothes.
She is butt-ass naked.
In his bed. Naked. And she immediately is just like, what have I done? And then he's just like, nothing happened between us. Mm-hmm. However, you did pass out. You woke up. You tried to strip for me in like a sexy way. And then you threw up all over yourself.
And she threw up on him.
And on him.
That's why he was shirtless.
I mean, this is just worst case scenario. Can you imagine waking up? The hot guy says, yeah, nothing sexy happened. You just barfed all over yourself.
Right. It was probably the most unsexy thing that's ever happened in his apartment. Yeah.
I know. I think this guy just gets laid all the time. And she just throws up all over him.
Because her office is...
They share a wall.
They share a wall.
So she definitely hears him, you know, bouncing around.
They're not jumping on the bed.
They're not. But she hears him get sexy.
Right.
And what she did was not sexy. Like any girl does, she gives her best friend Haley a call.
Mm-hmm.
And is like, I need a girl's night immediately. And this is the first time we meet Haley. And I love Haley. I think she is.
So, wait a minute. Let's stop here for a second. So when Kristen,
you're going to tell it wrong.
No.
You're going to tell it wrong. I can already feel it.
So when Kristen recommended me this book, she said, I think Kitty is a lot like you. And I'm like Haley.
Not true.
But like, Haley's like a prettier version of me, or
I
a better
Haley's
version.
Haley's like a way hotter, cooler version. And I only said that because of their friendship. And then you were like, well, why am I the girl who barfs all over herself and you're the hot girl at the bar?
They described her body as like she's built like sin. And I was like, oh, okay.
You've seen my bod. You know it's not built to that. But yes, we meet Haley and she is like the most confident.
She's perfect.
She is perfect. Men just like fall all over her, which is how you know we're not alike.
She works for a law firm. She graduated top of her class, body built like sin.
Right. But yeah, so Kitty shows up at the bar she's meeting Haley at, and Haley's kind of like, oh, how did the meeting with your editor go? And Kitty's like, not good.
Yeah.
And then she finds out that Haley had actually called the office.
Because she couldn't get a hold of Kitty, so she called the office to find out what happened, so she already knew.
She already knew that it didn't go well, which is why she had something made for Kitty. And this is brilliant.
Right. The spinning wheel.
I love this idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she makes, well, she has her assistant make it, but she brings this spinning wheel, kind of like a dating roulette of all these different tropes. Mm-hmm. So it's all these different popular male lead types. Mm-hmm. And she kind of forces Kitty to spin it. She's like, buck up, like you gotta get out there and start getting some inspiration. So she does spin it.
She spins it. It lands on billionaire.
So Haley is like, well, what about your boss? And she's like, my boss is a woman. She's like, no.
Boss,
head guy, owns the publishing company.
Right. And among other things.
He has tons of businesses, obviously billionaire. So they land on CEO Blake Marlin, and he's 32 and just like smoking hot.
Of course.
Just like, how many young, hot, single billionaires are out there?
Zero. We looked them up just now. There are no hot billionaires in the age demographic of 30.
No, they're all old with like hairy ears, but Blake is it. So Haley even tells her like, wait, I think he's speaking at this media conference in a couple days, so you have to go and try to meet him.
Right.
So she does get tickets, and she goes to the media conference, and she listens to him speak. She's obviously impressed, as is everybody else. Everyone's just, like, enamored with him. Apparently, he's just, like, super charismatic, and everybody loves him. But she doesn't really have VIP passes to get back there, so she kind of just is like, well, I don't know what else I can do. So she decides to leave.
She tries to bolt.
Tries to
get his attention, yeah.
Tries to leave, but then on her way out,
someone hits her that makes her fall to the floor on her knees.
Yeah, so this is not a sexy way to meet somebody, but she's on her hands and knees, kind of like bloody and like scraped up, and just her things are everywhere.
And gosh darn, who's going to save her?
Who's going to save her?
Blake.
Blake Marlin. So he leans down, helps her up. And he's, like, very concerned for her well-being.
Mm-hmm.
He's very protective. He helps her up, and he puts her in a wheelchair and, like, gets her ice packs. And then he asks her name.
He escorts her back home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because he asks her for her name, and I guess she does have a pretty unique name, Kitty Valentine.
Right.
But he recognizes it as one of his authors. And he's like, the Kitty Valentine? And she's like, moi? Yes.
Oh, me?
Oh, me? But yeah, he offers to drive her home, but they have like a little bit of a flirty chit chat, and he asks her out. He's like kind of interested in her. I'm guessing he doesn't meet a lot of people that are kind of awkward and fun and easygoing like she is.
And I do think he likes the fact that she's successful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like she gets it. Mm-hmm. She gets why he's busy and why he travels. So he does. He asks her on a date, which I mean, slam dunk.
Yeah.
So they do go on this date. Yeah. So he picks her up and they go to this fancy restaurant and eat in a private dining room. I mean, how many private dining rooms have you?
Zero.
Zero, right. What a life.
All my answers are zero. Right.
But they're in there, they're having dinner, and it's kind of a nice, easy convo.
Right.
They're kind of getting along.
Mm-hmm.
But
and then
he drops a bomb.
Bam.
Bam.
Like, this whole time, she's just like, ooh, it's going so great.
Yeah.
He showed up with roses.
She's feeling good.
Yeah. And then they go in this private room. He's still like, hey. And then he lays it out.
He lays it out. He all of a sudden is just like, so I heard your book sales are down. And she's like, huh?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. And then he just kind of eyes her and is like, why are you really out with me tonight? Like, are you trying to get something out of this? Mm-hmm. Are you trying to, I don't know, get with me to sell more books?
Mm-hmm.
And so she is offended.
She starts to panic, too.
She panics. And then she's just like kind of mad about it. She's offended. Right.
Because he won't let it go.
Mm-mm.
She keeps saying, I'm not dating you for this reason. And he's like, when are you going to tell me the truth?
And I like how she does get mad and kind of like claps back at him. She's like, look, I think you're sad because you think I'm using you. And
which is a sign that you've probably been used before.
Yeah. And then she gets up to leave because she's just like, this isn't worth it. This is not what I'm here for.
Right.
You're mean. And then he stops her confused. Mm-hmm. And he's like, wait, you weren't trying to use me to sell books?
Yeah, what I said the first time.
And then she was like, well, like, just not in the way you think.
Right.
Right? So she does tell him that she is kind of using him, but just in a different way. And then she explains about the tropes and how she wants to write more smut.
I appreciated that she was just honest with him from the beginning.
Same.
Yeah.
And he seems cool with it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Even, it's a little cocky of him, but he's just kind of like, let me show you how billionaires live, baby. She's like, oh, okay. And they kind of fall into this natural little arrangement. And he is going to show her how the beautiful people live.
A whole new world.
A whole new world. So, yeah, that was their dinner date. So she gets home and she clearly has a form of writer's block.
Yes.
Because at the same time, they haven't really done anything together. So she
has nothing to write about.
Yeah. So she's kind of just not sure where to go. And so she just is like cleaning her house, organizing her books, which I love. Relatable.
Just avoiding work.
I also clean to avoid work. And I do like how this book is written because not only do you get the main story of her life,
uh-huh.
you also get little sneak peeks of the book she's writing.
I do like that part.
So it's kind of like a book
exception. You see the evolvement of her writing smut, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah. So now we get introduced to the characters in her book and mm-hmm. how she's writing about them and comparing it to her real life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. But she does have a little bit of writer's block. So she goes up to the apartment roof and she's kind of sulking.
By the way,
yeah,
I've always wanted an apartment with a roof.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my dream when I was like young, single, ready to mingle.
I feel like you have to be in New York for that.
Right.
We're not going to find that in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so she goes up to the roof to just get like a change of scenery,
mm-hmm.
clear her head. But she's kind of just sulking. And then hottie neighbor Matt comes up with a beer and a chair.
He's like, hey.
Yeah, and so they're just kind of chatting.
Fancy seeing you here.
In our shared apartment. But you can tell they have like a pretty easy dialogue.
They do.
They get along. They joke with each other. I enjoy their little back and forth friendship.
And she does tell Matt the whole arrangement, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he is just making fun of her, but in like a lighthearted
way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I like their little friendship on the side. But then Blake calls and Blake's like, baby.
You ready to do this?
Get ready for another date. And she's like, okay. So, of course, like the billionaire he is, he's like, come on to my private jet and I'll show you what it's like. I feel like whenever I've gone on dates in the past.
And before you ask me, I have been on zero private jets.
I was going to say that. The guy's like, hey, do you want to go to Chili's? And I'm like, sure, that sounds good. Yeah, I'm down for that. I cannot imagine someone being like, hey, do you want to go to Chicago for some pizza? I'd be like, oh. Interesting. Yes. So they hop on the jet. and fly
to Chicago.
And they're having a good time. They're letting their guards down a little bit. They're getting along. She's even kind of like, ooh, is tonight the night? Because he even says, like, I got a Chicago apartment.
Oh, hey.
We can go.
Sleepover.
Sleepover. And he's like, ooh, how about we go to this jazz club? And she's like,
Liquor and jazz.
Liquor and jazz. Sign me up. So they're kind of like, they're walking to the jazz club. There is a hot makeout session. I like
Slow kiss.
Yeah, it's like a ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. He took his time.
Oh, baby.
Oh, we're yeah.
Getting to the good stuff. And I am in.
But shocker, this billionaire actually works.
Crushed.
Gets a phone call.
This is why you need to marry into just like old money. New money works too hard.
New money, yeah. New money has a lot to prove.
Right.
So he gets a phone call. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's work-related. Night's cut short.
Yeah. No more makeouts, no sleepover. Right. They got to get back to the city.
And it's still new, so she's like, it's okay. Not a big deal.
Yeah, she's pretty cool, but I would have been too. I'd be like, whatever you need.
They get on the jet. They go back home.
And that's kind of it. And then she's talking with bestie Haley about the date, because Haley's like, give me the details.
Haley with a bod. Uh-huh.
And you have Kitty kind of be like, yeah, I actually think I like him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a really nice guy. She feels for him. But then she also is kind of like, is it bad of me that I feel like I deserve more than someone who can only see me when they're rarely free? And Haley's like,
she sort of defends him.
Yeah, she's like, but he's hot.
I mean, he's a billionaire, so it comes with the territory.
Right. So I think that now Kitty's kind of struggling with, like, I like him, but am I getting enough out of this? But Blake does call again whenever he's back in town. They don't see each other more than once a week, at least. Maybe even like 2 weeks go by.
Right.
Because he's so busy.
So busy.
I know. But he does call, and he doesn't want to make it up to her for having to stop their previous date. And so, yeah, he's like, do you want to just come to my place, my penthouse? And she's like, But yeah, he just got back. So he brings her there, but he's like, I'm going to go shower real quick.
Right. So they order food.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes up and takes a shower. Food gets here. And so she's like, Blake, food's here.
Yeah, but I also like... She's like talking herself up. So he's in the shower and she's like, I got this. I got this. Gonna be sexy. Like, she's like, oh, you got it, Kitty. Like, you are hot stuff. She gets herself this whole pep talk, which I love. Like, this would totally be you. You'd be like, you're sexy. Like, you got this. So she's like,
I will not confirm or deny that.
So she's like ready to bang. She's like in it. She's like, I am ready. So she's like, calls his name and he doesn't answer. So she kind of like creeps into his room, like looking for him. Blake passed out.
What a sight to see, though. Just a towel on, still dripping wet, fell asleep on the bed.
Yeah. That is a good sight. Not that I can see it because it's a book, but like in my mind.
In my mind. Woo.
Wow.
Oh, baby.
So yeah, she sees he's asleep, which is like a huge bummer.
Right.
So she is just like, well.
So instead of leaving.
I would have left.
Yeah, I would have been like, you know what?
I'd be like, you're a piece of shit. A hot one, but I'm out. But she doesn't. She stays, which, like, good for her.
She stays. She's just, like, sitting. No, she fell asleep on the couch, didn't she?
He has a big library, and she obviously loves books, so she picked a book out, and she kind of dozes off.
Right.
And then he wakes her up.
And he's like, hey.
He's like, hey, I'm so sorry.
Sorry, Kitty.
And she's like, oh, it's okay. I'd be like, no.
I'm like, girl, get a backbone.
But he apologizes profusely for falling asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And they get the sushi out.
And I'm not going to lie. Like, at first, I'd be like, it's okay.
I know. I say that I'd be all tough.
But I'm like, if he's as gorgeous as I'm picturing him.
I know. He is busy, so.
But in my head, I'd be like, never again.
Do you not love me? So they get the sushi out they ordered earlier and the wine.
Mm-hmm.
And they're eating.
Yeah, she's just tearing it up. Which would also be me.
Sushi, sushi, sushi. Yeah, so she is eating sushi, but then there's like a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, ooh.
It's go time.
Bang time. So then things are getting sexy. She's like on his lap. They're making out.
Yep.
Like, this is it. She's like, wow, finally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then
she burps.
She burps.
And it's like a loud it's carbonated like a belch. Burger.
Yeah. And the moment is ruined because obviously he's like, what? And he laughs.
Right.
And instead of her just like laughing it off and just being like, show me your penis, he was laughing and she is mortified. And she has like a meltdown.
Right.
And she stops it. She's like, oh my God, I'm the worst person ever.
Right. She can't get past
it. She can't get past it.
Even though he was like, it's cool. Yeah, I get it. Like, we had wine. We had a lot of sushi.
Yeah. But she can't get past
it. But she's like, it wasn't ladylike.
I know. And so she just has an internal freak out.
Right.
And the moment's gone. But if you burped in front of somebody.
Way to get past it, Kitty.
But truly, like, what would your reaction have been if you burped mid-makeout with a super hot billionaire? Could you have laughed it off?
I first would have tried to read the situation just to see how he reacted first. If he reacted like he did and laughed it off, I would have laughed it off too.
Yeah.
But if he was like, you're disgusting, you're a garbage person, I'd be like, well, I guess I'm going to go.
You wouldn't like take your panties off?
I'd be like, what about now?
So yeah, he gets past it because he's like, you're just a person. And like,
right. This people
is,
burp.
Right. But no, moment's over. She leaves.
Come on, Kitty.
What a letdown. We went there for a reason, Kitty. And then the next day, I like this. And this is something that I would probably do when I'm talking to a friend. She's talking to Matt. And she's like, so my friend did something super embarrassing.
And he catches on right away.
He's just like, you burped. And she's like, no, it was my friend. Like, I can see myself doing that. It's like, oh, my friend tripped in public. Isn't that awful?
But the way he reacted was the same way Blake reacted. It's like, no big deal.
Right.
People burp.
Right. But then they start talking, and then it kind of snowballs into him saying, you know, I don't really believe in love. And she's a romance author and obviously believes in true love and soulmates and the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And they kind of get into an argument about it.
Yeah.
I think they both feel a little bit attacked. And so it kind of leaves on bad terms. He walks out and...
And that really is it for that, though.
Yeah. And so this is about the time in the book writing process where her editor's putting on the pressure. She's like, I need a book. Or at least let me read a portion
right,
of it
she wants
to
a
know
sample.
That it's sexy. So she is now feeling more comfortable because she's had a few experiences with Blake in the makeout department, and she has a little bit to go off of.
Right, but they still have not done the horizontal tango. So, what's a girl to do but to pull up some porn?
Well, first of all, she's clearly never looked at porn before.
Oh.
Because she is, like, shocked by what she finds,
you're
which
probably
I find
right.
really funny.
Yeah, she had to be very careful on what she Googled.
Yeah, she was like, bonded. Oh, no.
That's true.
She's like, oh, they look like they're in pain.
But she had the volume up so loud, and she knows Matt heard.
Oh, yeah. She is blaring porn on accident. Mm-hmm. And then when she stops it, she just hears like a soft giggle mm-hmm. from the wall. I like that part.
Yeah,
that was really
cute. That was a good part.
Yeah. But her book overall is going well, mm-hmm. and she's able to write some sex.
She's able to write some sex. She's writing all the sex.
She's read all the sex, and her editor's not read anything from this new smutty book yet, so she's anxious to read it.
Mm-hmm.
So Kitty is now, she's had a few experiences, so she can kind of, she's actually just starting to write something sexy for the first time. She's kind of getting into it, and then she hears moaning.
Yeah,
so she,
from
again,
that side.
Yeah, she shares that wall with mm-hmm. Matt. And she hears moaning. He's clearly banging some hot
God,
chick
this
next
guy's
door.
He's banging all the time.
He gets laid a lot, which makes me think he's just super hot.
Yeah.
I mean, good for him. And good for the chicks he's banging. So Kitty does something kind of devious, and I love it.
Oh, yeah.
She has her laptop open, and she puts it at full volume.
Like a marching band sort of song.
And plays just the worst marching band music.
Yeah.
And he can clearly hear it, and...
He bangs on the wall. He's like, I get it.
Yeah, but then you can kind of tell that the sexy time next door has stopped.
Mission accomplished.
What a cock block.
Yes.
Mission accomplished. I thought that was pretty good. But then Blake calls again.
Mm-hmm.
And he has kind of a fun date plan for them.
He does. The theater.
The theater.
And so, from all accounts, it sounds like they're seeing something like Hamilton.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't say Hamilton.
Yeah. But hottest ticket in town.
Hottest ticket in town.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta be Hamilton.
Right.
So she's excited.
Mm-hmm.
And they're on their way there.
Ooh. Here we go.
Getting sexy.
I have been waiting for this.
Yeah. So they're in the car. Limo. Mm-hmm. Sorry. They're not us.
Okay, trash. It's limo.
They're in a limo. And it happened so fast, I'm not sure how it even started. All of a sudden, they're sitting there, and then the next second...
So they start making out, and then okay. She kind of like signals like, hey, roll that window up, you know, the divider.
Because it's a limo.
Because it's a limo.
Not a Honda Civic.
And so it goes up, and then they start making out, and then things start to get heavy.
That dress comes up.
Heavy petting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Heavy petting. Little finger down south.
Finger action.
Mm-hmm. Oop, oop,
oop, oop.
Now, she likes it.
Well, yeah. But my, but my thing is... It happened so quick.
Yeah.
I actually had to reread it to see if it actually happened. And it, I mean, it just kind of alluded that she orgasmed. It was just like, oh.
So let me ask you a serious question. Do you think he has magic hands?
I think there's a lot of variables at play here.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's hot. Yep. I think it's been a long time for her.
Mm-hmm. And it's a limo.
And it's a limo. I mean, a girl can get crazy over an experience.
True. Or he just has magic hands.
We'll go with magic hands.
Okay.
Because it was like within, what, 10 seconds?
Yeah, it was quick.
Yeah.
Impressive. So that happens. It's over. They get out. She's like, ooh, I have a glow. No smudges on the makeup. She's just like, now I'm shining from the inside out.
And he was like, this is how you should feel all the time. And
she's,
I was like, really? All the time?
So they're watching the show, presumably mm-hmm. Hamilton, and he gets a work call.
What?
Not again. So he gets a work call, and he leaves to take it and just never comes back.
The whole second half.
He's gone.
He's gone.
And she's just watching. I mean, she is still watching Hamilton, so I'm sure it's still great, but she's
alone.
You want to share it.
Yeah, exactly. You would be thinking, where is he? In fact, he doesn't even come back. She finds him at the car.
Yeah, she just leaves when it's over and goes to the car, and he's there, and he apologizes, but...
Yet again.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then she's... This has happened so many times now
mm-hmm.
that she's just clearly frustrated, and they do get into a little bit of a tiff.
Right. And this is the first time we see Blake kind of getting...
defensive.
Very defensive.
Yeah. But she's just like, work is important, but it can't be everything.
Right.
And he's like, how do you think I got to this spot in life without it being everything?
32 and a billionaire.
I know. But she's just kind of like, you got to get your priorities in line.
Right.
And things just kind of escalate, and she's just like, take me home.
Right.
I'm out.
We're
take
done.
Me home. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then she wakes up the next morning, and she still is just like, ugh, he sucks. Which, mm-hmm. yeah, I get it. She's like, still irritated. Do you ever like go to bed thinking of something, you wake up and you're like, yeah, I'm still mad.
Yeah, I'm married. Yeah.
So she wakes up and she's still mad. But then she smells roses.
Oh, geez. Yeah, so she opens the door and there's just a shit ton of roses out there.
In the hallway. The hallway covered in roses.
Right.
So yeah, the hallway's just covered in roses. Mm-hmm. And now she's like, well...
Like, you can't just still like, be...
Well, now I can't be mad at him.
Yeah, you can't stay
same.
Angry.
Like, now
but
she just
Matt opens the door.
He's like,
and he's like,
hell?
Who died?
Yeah. She's like, shut up, Matt. But now she just has mixed feelings like, ugh, like it's not his fault, but it is his fault. And
how could you still stay mad at somebody that covered your hallway in roses?
No, I'd be like, I'm yours.
Right.
So then, yeah, he calls again and is just like, let me make it up to you. So he doesn't tell her what their date is going to be. It's a surprise. So he picks her up.
Is this their third date now?
Maybe fourth.
Fourth date.
Fourth date.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's just like, surprise, you're going to meet my mom. And she's like, what?
And to me, I know that he's a billionaire. He's a little out of touch with things, but you have to know that meeting the mom is a huge deal.
And she tells him that.
Right.
And then you can tell he's just like, oh no. Like that's, and we're just like, what?
Yeah, that part I was like,
You didn't think that her meeting your mom, but I mean, in his mind, I guess he was just thinking that his mom and sister are fans of her previous books.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly
still,
he's just.
Date four.
But like, also, like, men can be dumb. I don't know.
I'm sorry. I don't think he can play that role. He's a 32-year-old billionaire. He can't be that dumb.
I know. But either way, they go to see his mom. And they're having a really good time.
She loves his mom.
She loves his mom.
Loves his sister.
His sister and mom love her because she's normal.
And they're hoping, since they're dating now, they'll get to see more of him.
Yeah, because they don't see, because he's so busy, they don't see him that often. And they hope that he's, like, finally met someone and they like her. So they're kind of, they're feeling good about it. But then his phone rings.
What?
Again.
Shock.
But he's busy either, like, doing dishes or he's with his sister. Kitty answers it.
Kitty answers the phone, and it's his assistant, and she is pissed.
She is so mad. The assistant just starts yelling at Kitty.
You're the reason I can't ever get a hold of him.
Yeah. She was kind of nasty to her.
Right.
And Kitty was like, I don't feel comfortable with this.
Right.
And then Blake comes in, sees what's happening.
He steps outside to finish the call. Fires her ass.
Right. He does fire her. And then he comes back in clearly just upset now. And of course, they have to leave. And she's like, yep, this is.
This again. Is his MO. Yeah.
Right. And even his mom is kind of like, yep, it was good while it lasted. But again, they have just kind of the same fight on the private jet home.
They do. Where she's just like, you know, you have to prioritize your life.
Yeah.
If you want to have a relationship, you have to make time.
Yeah. So they just get into the kind of the same.
And he's like, well, I didn't get where I am today.
I know.
And we're like, we get it.
We get it. You're a billionaire, Blake. We get it. You can't have it all, though. So their argument's probably their worst so far. And they end up not talking for almost 2 weeks. At least 10 days go by where he doesn't call. And she's just kind of like, well, that's that. But on the bright side, her book is going well.
It is going well.
She hears a knock at the door.
Oh, who could it be?
It is Blake with some food. And she's hungry, so she's like, fine, come on in.
So he went all the way to Philadelphia, where he's from.
He didn't go there for her. He was traveling there work and brought it back. He's not that. It's like, give him too much credit.
Brought back some Philly cheesesteaks, because she's never had one.
Which appreciate. Yeah, that's nice.
So they're eating, and they both just kind of realize something's off.
They just have kind of their first honest conversation where they're both open, and they both say, like, yeah, I wish this could work, but his life is just not ready for this. But he is trying to make changes. He did hear what she said, and
he hired two assistants.
Yeah, that was his first thing. He replaced his old bad one with two to hopefully take some work off.
But my thing is, I always feel like if a man really wants to be with you, he will be with you.
Yeah.
So even though he's just like, I don't get it, you know, you're so perfect and, you know, you make me laugh and you're smart and blah, blah, blah. He still doesn't want to make it work.
You're right. Yeah. If he really did want it, he would have made it happen. But that's kind of like that conversation. They're just kind of like, well, we're just not meant to be, I guess.
Right.
They kind of chalk it up to timing, but you are right. I mean, if it was meant to be, I think they would have made it work. But the good news is that she submits her new smutty romance to her editor, and her editor loves it. Absolutely loves it. Thinks it's so sexy and hot, and is just like, I need more. I want the next one. She's like, I'm tired.
Took it all out of her.
Yeah. So she's feeling good, right? She sells this new book, and on her way back up to her apartment, she runs into Matt. They get over their little tiff they had and apologize.
Well, so she knows Matt's on the roof. So
yeah, you're right.
As a olive branch, she gets some beer. She heads on up to the roof and she tries to basically say sorry.
Yeah. And they just go back to their.
Right. And he's just like, yeah, it's cool.
It's cool.
We're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just love them together. I think they have a really cute friendship.
Right.
And he's smoking hot. So that's nice.
Smoking hot.
But yeah, it just kind of ends with them hanging out together on the roof, drinking beer.
So, overall thoughts?
Oh my God, I loved it. I thought it was so cute. love how awkward and normal Kitty is. I think she's relatable. I think she's really funny. I think she's the best. This series just like fills all of my rom-com places in my heart. You know I love a rom-com.
You love a rom-com.
And this book just was that for me. And I love the writing, and I thought the plot was really unique and creative and different. I read the rest of the series that's out. Loved those two. I'm going to read the rest when they come out. I'm just all in on this series, mm-hmm. and I could just talk forever about it. What did you think?
I love the writing. I thought it was just very realistic. Mm-hmm. And it would be the lines that I would read in the book. It made me think, oh, this is something I would have said as well. And
yeah.
So that's something I do appreciate. This is me. Could have handled a little more, a little more smut.
You want some more smut.
Just a touch.
Yeah, because the sex didn't happen.
Sex didn't happen. And mm-hmm. then the fingering did not last very long.
Right.
It was quick. Like, bing, bang, boom. Oh, over. So besides that, I thought it was a good book. It made me want to read the rest of the series just to find out like who she ends up with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was it. That was our second book, Kitty Valentine Dates a Billionaire.
Yay. Episode 2. Check.
So we do have our next book picked out.
We do.
We have the book. It's called Restraint. And it's by Adrienne Locke.
Yes.
Who we love.
Who we love. So when Kristen was like, hey, you need to start reading these romance novels, I started with Adrienne Locke. It was a series of books that she recommended, and I loved them. So
yeah, she's
I'm really
great.
Excited that we're going to do this episode.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you. And don't forget to hit subscribe.
And find us on Instagram.
Yay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.